Well, we're talking about a brand new subject. Prayer. The Lord wants you to pray and pray and pray some more. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm talking to you about prayer, but I'm also trying to help you understand some things about God, some things about the kingdom, so that you'll understand prayer better. I can remember years and years ago, well, way back in the beginning, I was talking to the Lord and saying to him, I need more power. I need more power. Have you ever said that to the Lord? I need more power. And he said, what you need is more knowledge. Oh. We got lots of power. We just need knowledge. We need to know how God works. Why he's working. What he's doing. So that we can agree with him. When we agree with God and we quit trying to talk him into things, it's amazing the mountains we can move. And if we can begin to see what the Lord is doing, understand what he's doing, then we can agree with him and faith is released and the mountains have to move. So we go from one... You know, pleading, please, 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 God, to commanding the mountains, because we see that's where God's moving right now. So we can join in, do what he wants, do what he needs. So it's not enough just to know you need to pray. But you need to understand the ways of God and conduct yourself accordingly in the closet of prayer. Why was Moses so great? Why did we see him move in such power? Was it because of what he represented? Well, in some respects, yes. He was there, a mediator for Israel, a deliverer. He was an unusual man for his time. There could not have been a second Moses. But we know that in this hour, God is going to do great things like that again. Moses spent 40 years in the palace, learning how the world conducts authority, learning how the world treats it's another word for kingdom. It's subjects. He learned 40 years, even in the sorceries of Egypt. Then God took him out into the desert, and he spent 40 years learning about God. So he saw the ways of man, and he saw the height of that. He saw the ways of the demonic. He saw the height of that. But then God took him out into the desert and taught him the highest of all, and that is the ways of God. Because he learned the ways of God, he was given the authority he was given to move in the Word of God when it was time. One of the things that the church lacks today is a lack of knowledge of God. You know, we have knowledge of so many things in the church. People, you know, will memorize scripture. They'll read books, 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 and more books. I say that, you know, and I've got all these books over here, but but books, 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 and more books so that they can learn about God. Even in our theological colleges, we take men in that have the hope of spirituality and we send them back out a brain child, but lacking in spirituality. They learned about him, but they didn't find him. They don't know God because of what transpired in Bible college. So if they can't find him, how are they going to teach his church? It is so important in these days for his church to learn God. It's more important than anything else you do. There's nothing, please say nothing. Nothing, nothing is more important than that one thing today. Your knowledge of God is what is going to get you through the difficult times. It's going to help you know how to pray, when to pray, when not to pray. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time for every matter or purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Verse 11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has planted eternity in men's hearts. Isn't that what we talked about last night? Eternity in men's hearts and minds. A divinely implanted sense of a purpose working through the ages with nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. Yet so that men cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Verse 14, I know that whatever God does, it endures forever. Whatever what? Whatever God does, it endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. And God does it so that men will reverently fear him, revere and worship him, and know that he is. Our goal in this life is to come to a place where everything we do is what God is doing. When we come to a place in our walk with God that we literally become his vessel, the vessel of power, you might say, in his hand, then whatever we do will last through eternity. It will not be wood, hay, stubble, which is what we're accomplishing when our life is affixed to our flesh. Whatever we do in faith is true, and it will last. Whatever we do in fear is sin. Anything we do not do in faith is sin. If it is sin, then it obviously is not God. Now, you can do lots of things in this life. I suppose many things are permissible. But not everything is expedient, because not everything is ordained of the Lord. We can do many good things in this life. But if God has not ordained that you do that good thing, then to you it is wasted time. It is wood, hay, and stubble. It is important to learn what God is saying to you, what God is calling forth from you, what God has determined for you. That's what's important. I have a friend who has a powerful ministry. The problem is he's in the wrong country. And he lives frustrated because of it. For one person, it might be the wrong country. For another, it might be the wrong church. For another, it may be the wrong ministry. For another, it may be the wrong marriage. You know, many ways that the enemy wants to come and confront the purpose of God in our lives. And stop it if he can. And one of the reasons that these things happen is because we don't know this simple truth that is listed here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. This, in understanding the ways of God, these few verses are absolutely paramount in the knowledge of God. To everything, say everything.
Everything.
Does that include all things? Everything. To everything. Every single solitary thing. There is a season and a time for every matter and purpose under heaven. God may say something to you. He may put something in your heart. And because it has come from the Lord, you think you've got to get out there and do it right now. And you try very hard to make it happen. But you were not in the season. You were not in the time. But even that is God's plan. You are being trained in the disciplines of the Lord in the school of the Spirit. So he'll let you go out and make the mistakes of being out of the season of God so that you can learn what it feels like to walk in the frustration of your soul and your flesh because you're not walking in the Spirit. And you will begin because of the weightiness of it. And I'm not talking about a divine weightiness. I'm talking about a weightiness that crushes the soul. Because you're out of God's season. You're out of God's plan. It's like putting the wrong gear in a piece of machinery. And what's going to happen after a while? It's going to get worn down, until it doesn't work anymore. And that's what happens to us when we're out of the season of God. It exhausts us spiritually. It exhausts us physically. Now, you can be in the season of God and go through the exhaustion as well, because you haven't learned to walk it out by the Spirit of God. But even this is part of his plan. To everything there is a what? A season. And so there are some things that are very, very important that God be the provocateur of this thing. For some things, it is very important that you be right on time in God's perfect plan. Some things are not as critical, are not as important. And so God will train you sometimes in these places where you're not really in God's will. He knows it. maybe deep down inside you know it, and you're going through all the frustration and the exhaustion and the exasperation of being out of God's will. But he's training you there. You are in a season in God. This is important. Now, you can be out of God's season, out of God's place, out of his purpose, out of his plan, and you're praying, and nothing is happening. What are you learning? That prayer doesn't work? No. You're learning God doesn't have to make the adjustment. You do. God is never late. His timing is impeccable. His wisdom is impeccable. He's always on time. And sometimes he has to take us through the roughest places to get us there on time. And he'll take us while we're squirming, you know, ranting and raving, stomping our feet, making all kinds of accusations at God. And he just keeps saying, just follow me, and I'll get you there. But you know, if you're not a person of prayer, there's no hope for you to be in sync with the purpose and plan of God. It's not possible. If you're ever in sync, it's by accident. You've tripped into it, and you'll trip out of it again as fast as you tripped into it. Prayer becomes this, not only the guiding light. Please say guiding light. And I'm telling you the truth. Prayer gives you eyes to the peripheral and helps you see the problems before they come all around. And it acts as a light. The Bible says that the word of the Lord, God's word, is a lamp unto our feet. But also prayer is a lamp unto our feet. If we are praying aright, if all we're doing is telling God, you know, giving him our checklist, I want to know how you're doing on this, Lord. I've been praying about this for 10 years. What are you doing with this? Then not so. But if you are learning wisdom, please say wisdom. Wisdom. Which is to wait upon the Lord until you can begin in your spirit to discern the times, to discern the seasons, to discern the move of God in your life and in the world. What did he say to the leaders of the Jewish people? He said, you can discern the times and the seasons. You can look at the weather patterns and know what's going to happen. Why can't you apply that to the things of God? So what is he telling us? To his church, we must learn to read the times and the seasons like some read the weather patterns, so that we can know that we are where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there. Prayer helps us do that. Now, I'm going to say something. You may not necessarily understand it, but just write it down. Ask God to help give you understanding. When you're walking with God, he begins to develop in you a sensory perception. I hate to use that word, you know, because they use it in the occult, but it's true of the Spirit of God. He gives you a sensing. Some people might say, I sense God is saying this. I sense God is doing this in this service. It's a sensing that you are perceiving. You may say, well, I used this example several weeks ago, but I'm going to use it again right now, because it's such a great example. A friend of mine, she and her husband were the assistant pastors of, I can never remember that man's name. His name starts with an S. He used to live in Illinois, and then he went down to Manila. God used him powerfully down there. Summerall. He was the assistant pastor of Lester Summerall when he was in Manila. So they were part of a very powerful work. This man was a very, very powerful man of God, and so was his wife. And one night, the Lord spoke to her, woke her up out of a sound sleep, and he said, get up right now and pray. And pray like you used to pray when you were in the mission field. She knew for him to do that, that something very serious was about to happen. So she obeyed him. She stayed up all night, and she prayed, cried, wept, travailed, like she used to when she was in the mission field. The next morning, her husband died of a heart attack. Some might say, well, why didn't the Lord just have her pray for her husband? Because there is a season for every purpose and plan under heaven, and it was time for him to go home. Pray like you used to pray when you were in the mission field. And because she obeyed him, he imparted in her during that time, those hours of intercession, imparted into her the grace to go through the next several weeks. Very difficult. If I remember correctly, 5 adult children, every one of them are in the ministry. I know most of the kids. But they were absolutely blown apart. And it was the strength he gave her during those hours of obedience and prayer that helped her know what to do, how to do. You know, I mean, her husband went home to be with the Lord, so she was no spring chicken. She was elderly, and yet she had the grace and the strength and the stamina to get through the funeral. People came in from all over the world. So it became a very, you know, like a drudgery almost, just to have a funeral for her husband. But the Lord gave her such grace. And she told me, she said, if I had not obeyed, I would not have made it through that season of time in my life. There are seasons. You can pray and pray and pray to stop the season. But if what God is doing in and through you is important, that season is not going to end until he's done. So instead of bring this to an end, bring this to an end, please, Lord, bring this to an end, pray, Lord, may I have the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the discernment to walk and to walk in rest in this time and in this season in my life. And if you will pray that, I used to open the Bible. I'd go in my room and I would spend hours praying particular scriptures and scriptures that I would pull out of the Bible to ask God for wisdom, understanding, prudence, so on and so knowledge, so on and so forth. I would just pray it hour after hour, day after day. God, I need this. I feel like I don't have it. I need this. Please give this to me. And all the time, of course, he was working and he was giving it to me through my seasons in life. Until finally one night in a vision, he spoke to me and he told me, I will answer your prayer. And when the world is in a dark place, you will be a light of wisdom and understanding because you have prayed to me for this. Pray for that. God wants you to have it. If you have wisdom, knowledge, understanding, prudence, discernment, not only will you be able to discern the seasons of time, but you'll know what to do in those seasons of time. Very, very important. Just as God has everything in a perfect plan for your life, he does for the world. And, you know, sometimes God, I don't know how many of you guys have gone through this, but where God says one thing and then he seems to contradict himself, saying something else. Have you ever experienced that? And so, you know, sometimes if you're young and immature, you're going to say, what do you mean? But if you've been through this with the Lord before, you know both things are true, and we need to find out why they seem to contradict each other, but yet they don't. And what do both things mean in the work that he's doing in the earth? So you pray, say pray, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray. And he may answer, or he may reveal. When I say he may answer, he may speak to you in a dream, he may speak to you in a, you know, in a prophetic word, he may speak to you in a vision, he may speak to you through the word, or he may reveal the seasons perceptibly. Suddenly, you understand the season. And suddenly, you understand how this works with this, and they no longer contradict. You see that in the scripture, where one prophet will give a prophetic word, another prophet will give a prophetic word over the same person, and the words conflict. And you think, well, which prophet was from the Lord? But then you keep reading the story, and you find out both things happened to that man's life. Both prophets were right. They seemed to contradict, but when it transpired, they didn't contradict at all. God is taking the world through seasons. He's taking the church through seasons. He's taking you through seasons. Every person in this room needs to hear what I'm saying. You need to understand it. I'm feeling it in my heart so strong. This is a message individually for you. God is talking to you to bring peace to your heart. So, to everything there is a season and a time. For every matter and purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. Now, there's a time to be born. Well, we've all made that time, right? And there's a time to die. We haven't entered there yet, except that there is a time to die in Christ. There is a time. Let me tell you, for those of you who have been in many, many services with us, you've heard me talk many times about union with Christ. There is a time to aspire to that divine planting. And if you don't make it, you won't make it. That's not something you can play with. You can't say, well, I really like the sound of that, but maybe next year. You have to grab a hold of the vision, and you have to fight for it with all of your heart every day until you make it yours. So there is a time to die. And if you miss the time to die, then the wrong part of you is going to keep living. And the spirit part of you will suffer great lack. So now, just stop for a moment. Do you know what a lazy Susan is? Do you know what a lazy Susan is? Go like this if you do. I just saw a vision of one. And I saw things, you know, like kitchen things sitting on this lazy Susan. The lazy Susan is out here in the middle of the table. And you want the sugar. And the sugar's on this side. So what do? You have to turn it with your hand so you can reach the sugar. Well, that's what God is doing. It's like the life, every one of you are on this lazy Susan, and God is turning you. He's moving you from one season to another. You're in transition. He placed you on that lazy Susan, and he will take you off of it when it's time. When it's time. If you jump off of it too fast, you're going to hurt yourself. You say, yeah, but this pain is so great. I mean, this trial, I can't handle much more. That's how it feels. I just feel like I'm going to die if God does not deliver me from this terrible trial of suffering. And you think he's too late, but he's not too late. Don't jump off the lazy Susan. Let God move you off. Don't arrest his season in your life. Rather, learn from the season you're in. Ask him every day, Lord, I want to learn everything I need to learn. Everything I need to learn from this trial. Help me not abort the trial. Help me not reject the trial. But help me learn what I need to learn that is so important that you're keeping me in this trial. Because you see, to every purpose there is a season. God has a season for the length of your trial. You can jump out of the fire, but you're going to hurt yourself if you do. He's trying to kill that he may heal. And what do we say to the Lord? I want to die that I might live in you. Lord, kill this flesh. And he does, and he sets it on the grill. And we feel the flames, and up we jump. I can tell two or three of you have gone through that. Lord, why don't you burn this flesh off? He says, because you will not sit still long enough for me to do it. I can't even get a singe. There's a time to break down and a time to plant. I've told my team, this was just an astounding lesson to me. You know, we do high-level warfare, and I'm not bragging. I don't go there. But I need to help you understand that so you can understand the story. We're getting ready to go into Nashville to do a gathering. None of our team wanted to go to Nashville, I can promise you. And so, you know, I'm feeling a little disheveled about the whole thing. But I know we're supposed to go, but I just felt bad that I was taking the whole team into Nashville and no one wanted to go. So the morning that I was to catch the flight to leave from California to Nashville. Now you talk about times and seasons. Let me interrupt this story for a minute to tell you another story. You know, all the time I'm living in California, God keeps flying me back to the east to do ministry. I get moved out here to the east, and now he's flying me to California on the west coast. Someone pray about that for me, please. Anyway, the angel of the Lord came to me and took me up into the heavenlies. He said, I want to show you what is going to happen because you have obeyed. Before you ever step foot on the plane, this is what is going to happen in the heavenlies over Nashville because you obeyed to go into Nashville. And I saw four crocodiles or alligators. I'm not sure what they were. But I saw four of them. And three of them died immediately. They were huge beasts. Three of them died immediately. And he said to me again, you have done no prayer. You have done no warfare. All you have done is agreed to go to Nashville. And as you head to the plane, this is what is going to happen in the skies over Nashville. Obedience has wrought your victory. So then I see this fourth gator coming. And he's coming right at me. He's like a, you know, snub nose, square nose alligator. And I said, what about him? He said, don't touch him. His time is not yet. It is not yet time to bring him down. So do not even touch him. There is a time for every purpose and every season in God. The discerning will know the times and the seasons. And the discerning become discerning because they have learned to wait upon God in prayer. When he gives the go, he may give the go through much strife, many trials. You may have to go through many trials and much strife to obey him. But you will be given the wisdom on how to walk it out if you're a person of prayer. If you're not, you're not going to make it anyway. So, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. God will take you through seasons where he's breaking you down. Have you gone through that? He's breaking you down. Have you gone through this yet? You used to be considered very wise in your field. And yet, for reasons you can't understand, you're not doing anything right. Because everything is turning out wrong. Have you gone through that? Where God confounds your own wisdom. You think it's the devil confounding you, and it's not. It's God. Because there's a time to break down so that he can build up. But until you begin to despise your own wisdom, you will not turn to the Lord for his wisdom and wait him out. Remember when Jeremiah was, you know, Israel beseeched Jeremiah, please go into the Lord and find out what we're supposed to do, and whatever he says to you for us to do, this we will do. So Jeremiah goes in and he seeks the Lord. He knew that they weren't going to obey him. God knew it. And God waited for 10 days to answer Jeremiah's prayer. 10 days. Now Jeremiah was a prophet. God could have spoken to him the first 10 minutes he went into the prayer closet. The Lord deliberately waited 10 days. Why? Because he wanted the rebellious to do what they were going to do. And the word of the Lord would ring true for the pure. He used it as a divine sieve, sifting out the impure from the pure, the rebellious from the obedient. He did it on purpose. Jeremiah found himself locked in a time tunnel of God, and there's nothing he could have done about it. When he came out after 10 days, he told Israel what to do. And what did they do? Do any of you remember? They yelled at Jeremiah. They let him know how terribly disappointed they were in him, and they went and did what they wanted to do anyway. But God put him in that precarious position when he waited 10 days to talk to him. So why am I saying that to you? You feel like you have to have an answer right now. But what is God saying? Wait. You get frustrated with the Lord because he hasn't spoken. Wait. You get frustrated with yourself thinking, why can't I hear God? Have you ever gone through that? Wait. The discerning, after walking with God for a while, will begin to understand God has his ways. The reason the Bible tells us to be temperate and vigilant is because without temperance, we'll never wait God's ways out. But yet we must also be vigilant. God is waiting to talk to us, but that, I want to tell you something. You need to hear this. Those times when God is demanding that you wait for that important answer, you must be vigilant over that time, because those days, minutes, hours, weeks, months are sacred to the Lord. You think he's just not listening, and it's not about not listening. He's put you in a sacred moment. What are you going to do with it? For God, waiting to speak is as sacred as speaking. And if he is waiting for you, and he's trusting you to wait for him, how highly does that speak of you? David said, "Wait, my soul, upon the Lord." Why did he say that? Because his soul was screaming, "No, now! Wait, my soul, upon the Lord." God is doing a profound work in your soul through the waiting, far more profound than if he had spoken. And the work that he's doing in your soul is more important to him than speaking immediately. Furthermore, you have to understand something about God. When God speaks, it releases power and it releases forces into activity. If he speaks too soon, he'll mess things up. So he's not going to speak too soon. And I love this. The Bible tells us that it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. And it is the glory of the king to search it out. What did Jesus say? The parable hides the truth that it may be revealed. So God is using these waiting moments and the speaking moments to temper your soul. You know how they temper steel? Get it blistering hot, ice cold, blistering hot, ice cold. That's how the word of the Lord works. The waiting time and the speaking time. The waiting time and the speaking time. I can remember I was seeking him on several issues. I don't know, 8 or 9 things. Every day they seem so important that I have an answer. Every single day. But it took almost 1 year before God answered me on all 8 issues, and he did all 8 issues in 1 dream. But when he did it, he also put in me the wisdom to know what to do with the knowledge. And when the dream was over, he said to me, "See how the Lord will answer all of your prayers." He is creating in you a place of stability to let his work rest. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A person that knows how to wait on the Lord knows when the time is to weep. While the rest of the church is dancing, the one who has developed prophetic vision because they've learned to wait upon God knows it's time to weep. When the rest of the church is weeping, the one who has learned to wait upon the Lord and develop prophetic vision is dancing. Why? Because they're ahead of the crowd. They're ahead of the rest of the church. The church is following in the jet stream of what the prophetic vision is casting. Now, I don't want to be weeping if I should be dancing. And I don't want to be dancing if I should be mourning. So it isn't just important that you pray, But it's important that you learn how to pray. That you pray when he wants you to pray. I mean, many times when he's not specifically saying also, but when he's calling you to pray, that you stop everything and you pray. I can remember one time, this was when I used to still go into restaurants. I'd gone out with three other people. We were sitting there getting ready to have lunch. We had ordered our meal. The Lord said nothing. We'd ordered our meal. The waitress is bringing our meal to the table. She sits down the meal in front of the other three people. And as she starts to put my plate in front of me, the Lord said, I want you to get up right now, and I want you to go home, and I want you to pray. I said, Lord, I'm saying in my heart, you know, Lord, this person came with me. Do I make this person get up? What do you want me to do? He said, my instruction to you is to get up now and go home and pray. He didn't tell me to take my passenger. He told me to get up now. I got up and left. When I got home, the minute I walked across the threshold of my house, the vision of the Lord came, and it was almost an hour-long vision in which he showed me the church and what the church was going to be going through over many, many years. Had I not obeyed, he gave that vision through much travail. I couldn't have done that in the restaurant. But had I not obeyed, had I not learned that when God says pray, you pray right now, no matter how inconvenient it is. If you wake up in the middle of the night and he lets you know he needs you to pray, you pray. If you've got other plans, you don't do the other plans, you pray, you obey. And he'll speak to you. And when he speaks to you, you will learn the season of God, wherein you want to walk. You learn to obey in the small things. And then he'll give you greater things. Now I'll tell you something else about prayer. Obedience is equal to prayer. Obedience is equal to prayer. What do I mean by that? If God tells you to do so and so, the minute you step out to do it, the fruit is going to be as though you had prayed. Obedience is equal to prayer. You birth things through obedience, just like you birth things through prayer. In our gatherings, one of the reasons we have success, and God told me this in the very beginning, is because we obey. No matter what he says to do, no matter how silly it seems, no matter how ridiculous it seems, we do it when he says to do it. And because we obey, it releases him to do what he needs to do in the heavenlies. Our obedience is the same as prayer. People have said to me, yeah, but you know, in your meetings, you have an hour of worship. You only have an hour of prayer. And I've said to them, how many hours of prayer do you need when the call is to obey? If he says to pray for 3 hours, don't pray for two. If he says, I only need you for an hour, you don't need to pray for an hour and a half or three. What you need to do is obey. And as you obey, he will bring to fruition the things that you have laid before him. Am I giving you too many things in one lesson? I want to help you understand how God works. Because one of the things that frustrates Christians and intercessors in particular the most is this connection between God and intercession. Why, when I pray, does God not respond? Why can it take so long to get answers to prayer? Is it because God's mad? Is it because I'm bad? You know, the thousands of questions that we go through. Of course, you need to go through your heart, make sure your heart is pure, that you're living a pure life. You already know that. That's a given. I'm presupposing all of that. But the other side of the coin is learning to discern the seasons of God so that you can pray accordingly. It will save you of so much frustration. I promise you. And your prayers will be so much more fruitful. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. You know, this truth is so critical to walking with God. God will sometimes bring people into our world that he never destined to be a lifelong friend or a lifelong connection. So the person comes in and then they go out and we're devastated because we've made soul ties God never determined was supposed to happen. Then we get bitter, right? Because we've lost this great person from our life. Now we get bitter. What has happened with our relationship with God? Simply because we didn't know this truth. There's a time to embrace. There's a time to refrain from embracing. Even in the ministry, there are times when man wants to bless you, but it's not God's will for you to be blessed in the way that man wants to bless you. I've seen ministers, you know, they get into a healing ministry and the offerings start going up. So then they go out and they buy a bigger house and they buy a nicer car. And the offerings keep going up, you know, because it's nice to see all the healings and miracles. Then they have to go out and buy a plane. There's a time to embrace. And there's a time to refrain. God starts doing things through us. Now listen to me very carefully. Because this is a weakness in the area of intercession more than anything else. God starts doing things through us and we get our heads lifted up. People want to bless us because God is doing things through us and our head gets lifted up some more. And before long, we can't be corrected by anybody. We're no longer teachable. God is using us. God is proving to the world that we're of value. Everybody and their brother now knows that we're an intercessor. We don't realize that one of the first lessons of being an intercessor is, may I say it? Keep thy mouth shut. And stay low to the ground. Because, you know, intercession is a dangerous place. And if you ride the proud pony, you're going to catch a branch across the neck. Humility. Humility. If you don't want the enemy to take you out, humble yourself and stay low to the ground. Always be teachable. Always be correctable. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. These are stones of memorial. I can remember in the very beginning of my ministry, God was using the ministry so powerfully in healings and miracles, that kind of thing. And, you know, and so I'd be in the church and the pastor would write newspaper clips and then he would give them to me. And I can remember the first time that happened, the Lord said to me, I want you to take that and throw it away. you will keep no memorials for the work that I do. And I've learned, you just don't, you know, you stay off the proud pony. You just don't go there. May I say something to you that is so sacred to God? Nothing is more sacred to Him than His voice. When He speaks to you, He has given you the most sacred thing He can give to any human being. If you take that sacred thing and you use it for self-worship and to let others worship you over it, you've taken the sacred and you've made it profane. There are times God will speak a word to you and you must speak it, but you speak it in humility, never touching the glory of that thing, because His word is sacred. And then when a negative thing comes into your life because of the sacred word you just released, you hit the dust. You bow yourself before that storm and before the Lord who called it into being for your good. Become a person of prayer, seeking the face of God and seeking the voice of God above all things. Then when it comes, you humble yourself in the dust over it. Don't ever let the way God uses you become a pillar of self-idolatry. Because I want you to remember Lot's wife. If God is going to use you much in the prayer closet, there are stones. Stones that have to be cast away. Some stones are going to be memorials, but they're not going to be the kind of memorials you want. God did this thing through my prayer. He did that thing through my prayer. You know, much pride, much arrogance, not that kind of memorial. Here He chipped off some flesh. Here He chipped off some soul. That kind of memorial. A time to gather in the stones. The stones of remembering, the stones of altars. I'm seeing the altar of the Lord that Israel built to the Lord. Abraham built to the Lord. Stones of memorial where you have laid something vital on the altar. You gather those stones and you throw away the stones of memorial that lift you up and create in your heart arrogance. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Yes. If you can learn these simple lessons in prayer, God will use you mightily. I've never met a powerful intercessor that is not broken in spirit. I've met a lot of people who think they're powerful intercessors. But those who are truly powerful, those who really walk in the authority, they're broken before God. And they'll never be one to sit and, you know, flesh out over the things that God has done through their lives. I want you to know that you are sacred to the Lord. There's a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. You know what? When the rending is happening, that's when God is sowing. When He's rending you, He is sowing great seeds of eternal value into your heart. When He is rending and it feels like you're getting devastated beyond recognition, it is in this very moment that God is putting His most precious gold nuggets into your heart. He's rending that he may plant the seeds of eternity. The rending is much desired because of the gift that comes with it. You want the rending because how are you going to get the gold if there's no place to put them? It's like he creates these pockets in your soul through the rending to place his precious nuggets of gold. Man looks at you as you're being humbled and you feel so much shame because of the humbling you're going through, but God is using this moment to put in you the most precious nuggets of the kingdom. If you have learned how to walk through the rending so that he can. Not only does he give the nuggets, but he gives the authority. He gives the power. It is in these moments when he's rending the soul and the pain is so intense that he's doing the deepest, most profitable work for the kingdom and for your soul. And the value is eternal value. Because everything God does lasts through eternity. That's why when you begin to pray and become an intercessor to the Lord, you don't run from the trials. Many intercessors get angry, get fearful, and they run out of the prayer closet, and they won't intercede anymore because they went through some trials. They didn't know that God was preparing their special vessel, their precious vessel, for something very great, and they just lost it. You don't run from the trials. You say to the Lord, if you want to rend me, rend me. I want your nuggets. I want the precious treasures of heaven. Just give me the grace to endure and the wisdom to know how to endure. And there's a time to sow. So he sows up what he's rent. He's healed what he's broken. But when he's healed it, it is so much more beautiful than before it was ever broken. Because now there stands a vessel of great character. Before the rending, you may have been fun to be with, but maybe not a lot of character. Maybe you had a lot of education, but not a lot of character. Maybe you had a lot of knowledge, but not a lot of character. Maybe you had a lot of money, but not a lot of character. Maybe you had a lot of position, but not a lot of character. When God finishes rending and he begins to sow, what he's going to put back together is going to be far more beautiful than what he broke. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Well, I've been concentrating mostly on you and not on the things that he's doing in the world. When you learn to embrace the seasons of God in your own life, you will begin to understand his seasons and what he's doing in the world. And fear will not cause you to refuse it, to resist it. But you will learn to walk in faith and in humility so that when God begins to speak to you about the times and the seasons, you'll be able to embrace it. Amen. And that's what he needs you for, is to pray about these things. Father, I know tonight's message was a very special message for every person in this room. Every single one. There are some in this room that are in transition in the spirit. And they're about to be taken to a higher level. And the enemy is pushing their buttons so hard because he doesn't want them to make it. And you desired to give them understanding, Lord, so that they could just sit down and be at peace and wait you out. So I thank you for putting much grace in their heart. For Lord, when we have waited you out and we have learned what it is you wanted us to learn, we've received the golden nugget, the golden treasure from heaven. And it's time to heal what you have broken. Golden skies await us, Lord. So I pray for everyone in this room that they've heard the message and embraced it. For there is a time to embrace, and this is that time. And I pray that you will continue working in them, Lord, to use them mightily in these last days. Make them people of prayer so that they can know you wonderfully in these last days. What an awesome God you are. And how awesome you are in these temple of ours. To learn your ways is a privilege that few ever touch. I think about my people in the desert, Lord. It makes me cry. 2 to 6 million Jewish people, Lord, who knows how many were out there but you. They all saw the same things Moses saw, heard the same things Moses heard, but they never learned your ways. And I think that there are people in this room tonight that have said in their hearts, Lord, I'm just tired of all the battles. And I'm ready to learn what it is you want me to know. And they're ready for the truth. They're ready to make the transition Moses made from seeing your acts to knowing your ways. How many times in my Christian walk you have told me things, Lord, that are so far advanced from what you've told even other prophets. And I've gone through great storms for the sake of the word. And then in the end, the word comes to pass. But what would have happened if I had not learned to endure for the sake of the word? Your word says that you test us and try us 7 times over. Your word does this. The word of the Lord will test and try us. Grace, Lord. Grace to these people. Let's everyone stand. Let's hold out our hands to the Lord. No more do I want to be a leaf blowing in the wind. Do you mean that? But I want to be solid in you, God. Moses learned your ways. He didn't grow up knowing them. And if he can learn them, so can I. Grant me your grace tonight, Lord. Grant me that part of you that strengthens me to know truth. Shakuma Arasho Aramotoso. Grace to know truth. Grace to know truth. Lord. Grant grace to their soul to receive the engrafted word. It takes grace to embrace truth. And we thank you for it tonight, Lord. Let the Spirit of the Lord enter into every heart and do the work right now, Lord, that they can cling to this truth, that they will love truth more than they love their own soul. There is a deposit. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up in due season. Be small before Him, that He might be great in your life. Humble yourself in the sight of man, and God will lift you up. Paul said that there's a time to throw away childish things and become a man. And God is calling forth the man-child. Those in Christ who made the transition. Become a man. We have bowed our knee to Him before the throne. The authority is there to change eternal things. He will direct the nations through the one who is broken before His throne. Lord, such love. I'm feeling such love. Such love, Lord. Such love you have for these people. These words tonight were given on a platter of love from your throne. It doesn't matter how many times we have failed in the past, Lord. Love speaks tonight. Love. Divine love. The Father to His children. Some of you really received tonight. He's done something brand new in you. And He's pleased. Praise be to the living God. Praise be to the Lord. Just begin to worship Him in spirit. Holy. About the sum total.